The Lord be with you.
And
read from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord. If you'd like to undertake a very worthy, noble, literary endeavor that will probably take about an hour and a half, read the book that follows the Gospel of John. It's called The Acts of the Apostles, 28 chapters. You could probably read it in an hour and a half if you read at a good pace, because it's a wonderful, wonderful scriptural book that we're reading the whole time of Easter season. Some have called this the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. So you really want to get to know the Holy Spirit, probably the best book to read, written by St. Luke. St. Luke wrote the Gospel as well as this spiritual masterpiece. So read it, and maybe underline certain passages that seem to captivate you. Today we have a heartwarming figure who was a great saint in the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to finish with this person tomorrow. His name is Saint Stephen. Okay? Stephen, which means crowned, and he was actually crowned with stones. He's a wonderful saint that can encourage us also to become saints. First of all, he was in the class of the first deacons. The first deacons. How did this come about? Well, the apostles were being weighed down by menial tasks that were preventing them from carrying out their fundamental obligation. You know the fundamental obligation of the priest and the bishop? It's an acronym with two letters, the two P's. To pray and to preach. So those are the two obligations of the bishop and the priest. To pray. We have to pray for the people. Then we have to preach. Because faith comes through preaching, as St. Paul says. So the apostles ended up by waiting tables. Like working at Denny's as a waiter or a waiter. I mean, that nothing wrong with being a waiter or waitress at Denny's, no? But they had to be doing other things, spending more time in prayer and to preach. So they chose Parmenas, Nicanor, and Stephen. So Stephen was the most noble of the deacons. Now, it's ironic. It's ironic because he was chosen as a deacon. Deacon means servant in Greek, to do these more menial tasks and to help out the sick and the poor. But you're going to see in the Acts of the Apostles, one of the longest homilies in the whole New Testament is given by, guess who? St. Stephen. One of the most brilliant discourses you have in the whole New Testament is given by the St. Stephen. And if you ever teach catechism, you want a synthetic, clear, concise summary of the Old Testament history, there you have it. There you have it. The homily of St. Stephen. So Stephen is preaching, and he's surrounded by people that were jealous. They were called the Hellenistic Jews. They were jealous because this young whippersnapper, maybe he was 23 years old, he's preaching, and these guys are probably triple his age, who have possibly the best education in the Mosaic Law in the world. And they have this young whippersnapper that's getting up and preaching, and he's much more eloquent than they are. So they become angry. So what they do is they engage him in debate. So he's surrounded by these older guys that could be his grandfather, and they're trying to debate with him. And not only is he able to overcome one in debate, he's able to out-debate the whole group of them. He's so eloquent. And as a result of this, they're infuriated. How can these young whippersnapper get up there and preach and teach better than us? So as a result of that, they're filled with envy. Okay, envy leads to anger. Anger to resentment. Resentment to rancor. Rancor to odio. And odio ends up by killing people. That's what happened. That was a dynamic. So they couldn't out-debate him, so they decided that they would falsely accuse him. They would slander him. They would calumniate him. They would character assassination with this guy. So they bring him before the court, the Sanhedrin, say, this guy is corrupting the Mosaic Law. This guy is speaking against Moses. He's preaching about this Jesus guy who's going to ruin the Jewish religion. So it ends today where they look at him, they stare intently at Stephen. Stephen is just listening to the false accusations, and they look at him, and he looks like an angel. He looks like an angel. Even despite their anger, their bitterness, their envy, they see this young man as an angel. What does that mean? His purity, his light, his innocence, his transparency, all those beautiful virtues, they can't deny it. They can't deny it. So what's going to happen is Stephen is going to get up and he's going to give another homily, and they are going to be infuriated. He's going to say, look, lift up your eyes. I see the Son of Man standing in glory at the right hand of God the Father. Ah! And they couldn't. They couldn't. So they drag him out. And you probably know what's going to happen. They drag him out and they throw stones. And the stones, they crash into his skull and he dies. But how does he die? He says almost the same words that Jesus said when Jesus died. He says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And in Jesus, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he dies. What a beautiful person this Saint Stephen is. When these people filled with the venom of hatred are hating his guts, he's forgiving them and giving them mercy. Guess who was present there at the murder of Saint Stephen? A young man, his name was Saul of Tarsus, was there. They were laying their cloaks at the feet of a guy named Saul of Tarsus. And he concurred to this murder of an innocent man. And what do the doctors of the church say? If it were not for the prayers of St. Stephen, we would not have the conversion of St. Paul. Huge, huh? So here you have the most famous conversion in the whole world. No one's going to doubt the conversion of St. Paul is number one in the whole world. It came about because of the loving mercy of St. Stephen. So I hope today you have a new friend. Your new friend is the great St. Stephen. Amen.